Good morning, church. Come on, clicker. Give me 1 second. Let's go back to that for a second. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Pastor Tim, for the prayer and for the reading. Happy Thanksgiving. So you can't see that there. It's black there for some reason, but it says Jews demand signs. And as we look at this text today, I'm not going to focus on all of it. I want to focus just on one little part of it. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. You ever wonder what that means? Because I want signs as well. Is that my Greek side? I want wisdom. Is that my Greek side, and my sign side? Is that my Jewish side? What does it mean? What's it talking about when it says, Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified? So, like many things in the New Testament, we go to the Old Testament to find the answer. So this word sign, semeia, can be translated as miracle. It can be translated as a portent, a sign. And in the Old Testament, probably one of the greatest places we see it is in the book of Exodus. So, do you guys remember the story of Exodus? Moses? Yeah? Do you remember, like, you have all that stuff with Moses' birth, and I didn't include everything because it would just fill the page. But, you know, remember? Pharaoh decreed that all the male children should be killed, and so Moses' mother takes him and nurses him for weeks or months? I think it was months. And then she, I guess in fear, gives him up and puts him in a basket. But God saves him. And as you go forward in the story, God chooses Moses. And Moses is afraid. He's like, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe you sent me? And God gives him a staff, and the staff turns into a snake. And sometimes you forget, he also, leprosy was a big thing in the ancient world. And so God gives him, he can put his hand in his robe and it comes out leprous, and then he can put it back and it's healed. And then you have all the plagues of Egypt. And these plagues of Egypt are often seen, and I think rightly seen, as God demonstrating that none of your gods, none of your Egyptian gods, are greater than me. You have a god of the Nile. You have a god who has the head of a frog. You have a god who has the head of a fly. I'm going to use all of these things as my signs that I am God. And finally, the Israelites leave Egypt. Pharaoh allows them to go after the death of all the firstborn. And Jews to this day remember this with the Passover celebration. And the Israelites are told to kill a lamb in sacrifice and take the blood of the lamb and put it along the door. And when God sends the angel of death, the angel of death will see the blood and pass over that house. But all the Egyptian households, even their animals, the firstborns, were taken by the angel of death. And it's only after this that Pharaoh lets them go. But then Pharaoh, when the Israelites go a little bit further, God causes the Israelites to kind of go in a circle, like they're wandering, they don't know where they're going. And Pharaoh and all the Egyptians again change their minds. And they chase the Egyptians, or sorry, they chase the Hebrews with a mighty army. And it's there that God saves them by parting the Red Sea and allowing the Israelites to pass through. And then when the Egyptians follow, God closes the sea above them and they die. And after the Israelites see God destroy the Egyptian army, they sing. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. And after that long song of Moses, Miriam, his sister, the prophetess, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang back to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. They have seen the signs of the Lord. They have seen the miracles of the Lord. Repeatedly, God has brought them out of Egypt. He has saved them. They are so full of joy and rejoicing that they sing. And yet 3 days later, they're grumbling. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days. That's it, 3 days. 1 minute they're singing. They've seen all God's signs. They're joyful, singing, yay, God, you are so great. They go into the wilderness for 3 days. And they found no water. For 3 days they found no water. Then they came to Marah. And they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. And therefore it was named Marah, which means bitterness. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? They've been in the desert 3 days. They have not run out of water badly. If you are dying of thirst and you find water, you're going to drink it. If I'm dying of thirst and I find water, I don't care if it's bitter. I'll be drinking it. But the Israelites, 3 days. 3 days after all of those miracles that they're singing about. 3 days later, they're grumbling. And then get this, a little bit later, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. All of them. The Israelites said to them, to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we want. What? They were slaves. They were being oppressed with hard work. And even after all the signs, all the wonders God shows them, a few days later, they're grumbling. Oh, why didn't God just let us die? We had meat in Egypt. We had all the food. What? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten everything that happened? Have you forgotten why you left Egypt? You didn't leave Egypt because life was wonderful. You left because your life was terrible. You left because your life was full of suffering. You left because you were so weighed down by the burden of the Egyptians. But they forget. So when in Corinthians it says Jews demand signs, God is not being unkind when he says, I'm going to give you Christ. I'm not here to give you tons of miracles. Why? I've done that in the past. I've given you miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I have parted the seas for you. I have turned rivers to blood for you. I have killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians, but I didn't touch your children. I did all of these signs. And just days later, you're grumbling again. And you forget everything. So here's the thing about signs. Take a look in your own life. We were just asked to think of what we're thankful for. How often do you grumble instead? How often are we just like the Israelites, just like the Jews? We are blessed after blessed after blessed, and yet we keep grumbling. We forget what was good. We dwell on what was wrong. In Philippians, we are told, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Do you notice the world around us grumbles and complains about everything? And we do too. We're just like the Israelites. We're no different. We're not better than them. If God showed us miracle after miracle, 3 days later we would be complaining. What we are called to be is a people of joy. Rejoice always. Always. Always be full of joy. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. In everything that happens, look for what is good. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving, at its core, is a very Christian holiday. There is a Thanksgiving story that is beautiful, that is about English colonists, English Christians who come here, and they're dying, and God provides salvation for them. But the Indian tribe there, and one member, actually not a member of that tribe, but another Indian there, he was able to speak English. And the tribe there shows them how to grow food, and they share a banquet together. And we remember that with this day of Thanksgiving. And we gather together, usually in families, and we remember the good things. Now, the world around us wants to focus on the fact that, hey, you know, this Thanksgiving meal, this Thanksgiving celebration, it didn't last long. The peace didn't last long. They were fighting afterward, yeah. There's been terrible things that happened. There's terrible things that happen in our lives every day. And even before the Thanksgiving story, the reason that that Indian Squanto was able to speak English, the reason he knew English and was able to help those colonists, was because he had been taken as a slave. He had been kidnapped from his people and brought to Europe, where he was a slave, and he'd learned English there. And when he came back to America, all of his family were dead. All of his tribe were dead. But he was adopted by this other tribe, and when the English came, he was there able to help them. So I think sometimes we want to dwell on what is wrong, what is bad. We want to complain. We want to grumble, because there is lots to grumble about. Part of why I am a Christian is because I know the world is dark. I know that there is so much that's wrong. That the wrong is the norm. That lack of love is the norm. That hatred is the norm. So as we have Thanksgiving, we are not saying pretend everything is okay. We're not saying pretend there is no wrong in the world. The wrong is the norm in the world. We are told that this world is where Satan rules, that he's in charge, where brother hates brother, where sons curse their mothers. When we are thankful, we're not thankful because everything is rosy. But like the Thanksgiving story, we should remember what is good. It's kind of like my marriage with my wife. We had very hard times in our marriage. For those of you that are married, you know that you've had hard times in your marriage. In those hard times of our marriage, if I dwelled on everything that was wrong, if I just kept repeating to myself all the things my wife did, my wife said, my wife didn't do, if all I did was grumble about that, I don't know if I'd be married today. But in the middle of all of those rough times, we remember the good times. We remember why we first got married. We remember the good moments. We remember what we can be. Instead of looking at the filth that we often fall into, we should be looking at what we can be. We should be looking at Christ, what he calls us to be. There's another story in World War I. In the middle of the war, when brothers are killing brothers, one of the most gruesome wars that we've ever had, in the middle of the war, over Christmas, one side hears the other side singing Christmas carols. The Christmas carol, Silent Night. It's a German Christmas carol, but we translated it into almost every other language, and the lyrics are the same. And the soldiers on the two sides, they heard the other side singing Silent Night. over Christmas. And then the other side started singing it. And then those two sides, in the middle of the war, the two sides came together over Christmas. They shared food. They sang Christmas carols. And like good Europeans, they played a game of soccer. The war was horrible. There was so much continuously that's wrong. And we have one moment there of beauty. One moment of joy. Sometimes the world tells us, hey, don't focus on that moment of joy. Look at all the horrible things around. No. As Christians, we should look at those moments when we do what we should have done. We should look at those moments when we do better, when we behave as Christ calls us to. Not the 99 days where we fall short, but the day where we are closer to getting it right. That's our hope, that we in Christ, that one day in heaven, every day will be better than our best day. And so on this Thanksgiving weekend, let me say to you, think about what is good. Every good thing comes from the Lord. Do not grumble. Do not look at the things that are bad and bring down all the people around you. Do not look at all the things that are wrong. There are so many. But as people of Christ, remember what is good. Rejoice. Not because the whole world is good, not because everything is good, but because in Christ we know that the end will be good. That like Joseph, when Joseph was sold by his own brothers, they actually wanted to kill him originally. And then he becomes a slave. And yet in the end, God uses him to save his whole family. We as Christians in Christ, we remember that the end is good. We know that no matter what is happening now, the end will be beautiful. That when Christ returns, when we are with him, all of the goodness will seem like a shadow to how great his goodness is. It's like the light of a candle against the light of the sun. And we look forward to that day. And that's why we're thankful, to encourage one another, to look forward to the day when every day will be better than our best day. So where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. We talked about baptism a moment ago. Baptism by water does not save you, but it does. It is the promise, the pledge of a clean heart before God that we follow him. That we're saying, yeah, we see the darkness of the world. We reject it, but we see your beauty, and we turn towards it. That I do not follow the darkness of the world. I will not be like them, even though I often stumble and do what they do. My heart belongs to you. That I have chosen you, God, above all the gods of the world, because they are meaningless and worthless. I place my trust in you. because you are good. And part of my trust is that everything will turn out wonderful, that I do not need to be afraid. I do not need to grumble and complain, because the world is a broken place. I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to trust in you. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But it doesn't make a difference. We can provide all the signs and all the wisdom in the world. But for those whose hearts are hard against God, it's never enough. But we, our sign, our wisdom, what is enough for us is Christ and Him crucified. A stumbling block for Jews and foolishness for Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. We preach Christ crucified. Our joy, our hope lie in remembering a death. But through that death, we are given life. Through that death, we see how much God loves us. Through that death, if Christ rose from the dead, if He is the firstborn of those who will be raised, we too will be like Him. As Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. So this Thanksgiving weekend, rejoice. Remember what is good. Celebrate it. Not because there's nothing wrong, nothing bad, but because there is so much that is bad and wrong. So let us rejoice and remember what's good. Don't grumble. Rejoice. Set your heart on things above. Remember Christ and the love He's given you. Why don't we close in a prayer? God, part of why I became a Christian was the realization that the world is dark and broken. And in You I found glorious light. And I know, Lord, sometimes I want to grumble. Sometimes I want to complain about how my body is getting old, how the drivers on the road are so rude, and yet You call me to rejoice, to take joy, to not grumble, but to rest and place my hope and faith in You. God, You are good. In Jesus' name, amen.